Welcome to another edition of Sea Control, your moment of PowerPoint rehab from the Center for International Maritime Security. This week is your monthly installment of our East Atlantic series from our friends at the Phoenix Think Tank. Let me tell you, it is the tip of a very excellent iceberg. For today's podcast, one of our associate editors, Chris Stockdale, will be interviewing our regular East Atlantic host, Alexander Clark, about the upcoming Falklands War series that we will be running. Alex Clark has recorded a fascinating album of Sea Control episodes consisting of interviews and panels on the Falklands War, first-person perspectives from those planning and leading operations during the war that we'll be releasing in upcoming editions. This is a series that SimSec is proud to be a part of. Today, Alex will tell us about the purpose, scope, and future of this great series right after this short break.
Hola, nuestros amigos. Do you like Sea Control? Do you enjoy the SimSec Next War blog? Become part of the discussion and our community. Sign up for SimSec membership at www.simsec.org/about/membership to get our articles and podcasts emailed to you every week, and an account that allows you to submit articles directly to our editors through WordPress. We think Sea Control is a very fine product, but it's nothing without your constant support and engagement. Your ideas keep us going. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Sea Control East Atlantic, your moment of PowerPoint rehab from the Center of International Maritime Security. My name is Chris Stockdale-Garbutt, and for those of you who are frequent listeners of the East Atlantic podcast, you know me as one of the panelists, but for today's episode, I shall be its host. The reason for this temporary change in roles is that I've been asked by the podcast regular host, Dr. Alexander Clark, to interview him and discuss the new series of episodes that he has recently compiled concerning the Falklands War. So without further ado, I shall introduce Dr. Clark. Alexander, hello.
Hello, Chris, and thank you for doing this. I know it only took some minor arm twisting.
Not at all. It's a pleasure. Before we get started, could you provide a bit of background about yourself for our listeners?
Yes. Let's see, I've just finished my PhD and graduated from King's College London, War Studies Department.
Congratulations.
My PhD focused on the 1920s and 30s in the Navy, the Royal Navy, specifically in its development of naval aviation in that period. And that's actually what's led me to doing some of this work on the Falklands, because during my study of that period, one of the things I found most annoying was the amount of voices which couldn't be heard. We had the official records, and we had a few potted autobiographies and a few histories, but there was so much more of an image, of a picture we couldn't get at, and richer texture. So that is why I thought, well, I'm alive now. The Falklands War veterans are mostly alive now. We better do this while we can, because no one lasts forever.
Well, thank you very much. I've listened to the interviews that you conducted, and I must say it's a very interesting set of episodes. However, I'm sure you won't mind my asking, but why did you choose the Falklands conflict for this subject of the podcast series? I mean, you've got to carry a background, why not do something else?
Because the Falklands War, and to an extent I would say, whilst I have a carrier background, I also have an amphibious warfare background. My bachelor's dissertations were Falklands War, and my master's was on was on amphibious warfare. The Falklands War for me represents one of the last wars where it was there's two sides, there's two nation states fighting each other, and it was no long-running, you know, pretense or argument. It was actually two nations going to war over something which is sort of traditionally what nations have gone to war over, territory and people. In this case, the Argentinians claims to the Falkland Islands, and the Falklands claiming Falklands wanting to still remain a British overseas territory. Also, the Falklands War represents, since the Second World War, pretty much the only time where a battle group, an amphibious task group, have both been involved in combat, both come under attack, fierce attack, and it's a near power level. The Argentinians, yes, they were beaten. And yes, the Royal Navy and the British forces did it in an emphatic way in many circumstances. But the fact is, the Argentinians were a near peer foe. They were not that far below the British on the full armed forces and capability scale. They had their own aircraft carrier. Yes, the 25th of May, the 2nd of May, didn't get involved. It was kept mostly out. But the fact is, they had those things. And that's a sort of rarity if you look. Since, you know, the Second World War, most wars have been either proxy wars or have been wars fought by coalitions of very powerful states against far weaker states, which had no chance. So it's a very interesting conflict because of that, and there's a lot to learn.
I see. Thank you. I also understand that this is only the first batch of what you hope will eventually become a much wider series. Am I right in that?
Yes. I'm already into the recording, organising of batch 2, and I have people coming forward for batch 3, and I'm hoping that this podcast will sort of generate more people. There is a problem in that most of the people who are easy to get hold of, who are more happy to be involved, are from one group.
Sure.
And I'm hoping the more people get involved, the more they understand about it and the fact that it's basically for them to give their experiences, not for me to push ideas onto them, but for them to give their experiences for others to learn from, that more people get involved. And especially I want NCOs to become involved, because at the moment we're kind of officer heavy, and I would like privates, of course, and seamen, but NCOs I feel have a specific experience that it would be useful to bring involved.
Right, I see. That sounds good. So what does this first batch is cover?
It mainly seemed to plot itself. It's around command and control of amphibious operations, plus with a lot of the experience of 4-2 Commando. And the reason they came involved in it, because they are so much intertwined into Operation Paraquet, that's the recovery of the South Georgia Islands, and into many of the key operations which took place on the Falklands proper itself, that they are crucial. And so they sort of, it became, I wanted to do the command and the experience of amphibious warfare, but 4-2 Commando had to be combined into that, so it became 4-2 Commando and the command. But also there's some from the paras there, and of course, we have some naval officers there, in that we have Jeremy Larkin, who was the Chief of Staff, and of course Michael Clapp, who was the commander of the Amphibious Task Group, who were down in the ATG in San Carlos making decisions for the Amphibious Task Group. So it's a good mixture.
Mm. And if I'd like to move on a bit now and sort of ask you, you know, about your choice of interviews. Obviously, you've sort of overviewed that briefly, but can you tell me and the listeners how you came to choose the individuals that you spoke to, and what influenced your decisions to speak to them, rather than the myriad of other people that you could have chosen?
Pretty much, they chose themselves. In that, I'm happy to speak to anyone, and I've been asking as many people to get involved as possible. And unfortunately, at the moment, I get more no's than I get yeses. But I'm hoping that'll change. So to an extent, that sort of they picked themselves. But also, the criteria was I wanted, especially in the first batch, for it to be people who were down there. I do want to get to the people who are in Northwood, the people who were at Ascension, and, you know, the people who are organising things back in the UK. But I wanted, especially for the first batch, to be the people who were down in the Falklands, who were down in South Georgia, who were taking part in the teeth end, for want of a better word, of the conflict. Also, that's to an extent, I have tried to get people from the other side, from Argentinian side, to come and speak, and it's been problematic and so far unsuccessful, but I'm still pursuing that.
But you intend to include some Argentinians later on?
If they agree. That I can't force people to take part, and it's only if they agree that I can actually have them. So that is the limitation, is people agreeing to take part, not me.
There's certainly been an interesting element to the discussion, I think. I think that would be,
it would be
very good if you could include that. One thing I've noticed when I listened to them, and something you've just touched on then, was that you've spoken to a lot of sort of field-grade officers, and by that I mean sort of, you know, lieutenants and captains and majors, etc., serving in the British military. But how you have said this, that you'd like to include NCOs and things, but how come you didn't choose NCOs at this point? Is that because they weren't available?
They just weren't available. There are a couple who are interested. but one's on a 12-month cruise for his 50th wedding anniversary, so he wasn't going to do it at the moment, and frankly, I can't blame him. And the other one, he's just been so busy, I'm not quite sure what I think he still works in diving, from what I understand. I'm not sure if it's the management side or the actual diving side, but I think he's very busy with work at the moment.
Right. Well, it'd be good to hear from them if they could join you. That'd be great. As I'm sure our audience know by now, both you and I are academics. We're not in the military. You've just finished your PhD at King's, as you said. Well, congratulations on that. I'm just about to start mine at KCL, actually. So with that in mind, are you planning on bringing an academic dimension to the series in the future? I'm sure you know quite a few scholars who'd like to talk about the subject and provide a contemporary, strategic, and historical perspective.
That is something I have considered for some of the later batches, to put a panel of academics together. I don't think I want to do a solo interviews like I've done with some. I'm not with some of the serving officers, but I think a panel would be quite an interesting discussion, and I think it could teach a lot. But again, that's going to depend on who's in agreement with it and who would like to do it. I know there's a couple of names in my head who I'd really like to be involved in it, and who, possibly like yourself doing this interview, I'm going to have to bribe into getting involved. I think chocolate cake or dinners out will be involved.
I think that I could work with that. That sounds very good. I'm sure you can get me on board. And if there's any listeners out there who would like to contact us, obviously that would be great. Right, you obviously read a lot about the subject. So is there any books or anything you'd recommend our listeners listen to or read rather?
Michael Clapp's book. I've forgotten its name right now. It's San Carlos, to San Carlos Water or something. I've forgotten, but it is Michael Clapp's book. Is possibly, if you're wanting to understand the amphibious warfare, that's the one you've got to read. Nick Vaux's book is also very good, on the experience of 4-2 Commando. He really did know what he was talking about, and he really did experience it. Those are the two out of books I've read I would say anyone can pick up and read. The other books, there are lots of very good books, but those are the two ones that if you have no experience and no knowledge of the Falklands War, you can pick up, you can read from cover to cover, and it won't matter. They will explain everything as they go.
Right, okay. Yeah, I've been reading a few of Chris Parry's books, and they're very good too. So they're good choices. I'm sure they'll be most interesting. Finally, Alexander, I'd like to congratulate you on producing the first batch of what I'm sure will be a great podcast series that I'm sure our listeners and everyone will enjoy. Before we go, are there any plugs that you'd like to make?
Go on. There's, of course, SimSec and Phoenix Think Tank, who are kindly hosting the podcast. So I have to be nice about them, especially Matthew Hibble, who is going through a very happy moment at the moment. So he's very happy. And, of course, Christopher, who kindly edits some of my writing as well as doing being twisted to do this.
Thank you.
And I've got some papers on Eurogeostrategy. I've got some papers on British naval history. I seem to wander around just sending in papers and seeing where they're going to be published. I would also recommend people look at the Journal of Military Studies, I think it's called, but it's by Professor Jim Storr, who runs it, and it is an excellent journal. It has some really interesting stuff. It's a land war focused journal, but it is very good. And Seaside, well, current moment, there isn't, it's British naval history, is probably British naval history and SimSec, depending on what you're looking for, are the two good ones. Phoenix Think Tank has some excellent papers, but that's more a thinky tank papers than a journal papers.
Okay, thanks. Well, I'll definitely check those out. Sound really good. Also, of course, I'd like to suggest the Centre for International Maritime Security. Great articles and podcasts. So that's SimSec, CIMSEC.org. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Alexander. Very good, very enjoyable interview. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Great content from the Center for International Maritime Security. Like the Sea Control podcast? It's at your fingertips. Go to www.cimsec.org. Don't forget to sign up at www.simsec.org/about/membership to get our articles and announcements by email. And hey, if you feel inspired, feel free to write us an article or two, or five. Make sure to check out our partners. Our friends at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute produce the Sea Control Asia Pacific edition. Our friends at the Phoenix Think Tank produce Sea Control East Atlantic. This and other fine forums can be found on our homepage. Join the discussion.